Morning Podcast. I'm Pastor Brian McCrory, along here with fellow pastors John Kirby and Bob Hayes. And we are talking about Thanksgiving today, a great subject and a wonderful holiday coming up here in the United States. And here's some fun turkey facts that you may not have realized. The average weight of a turkey purchased at Thanksgiving, 15 pounds. I got to tell you, I haven't purchased a 15-pound turkey in many years.
I gain 15 pounds each Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah. I think I usually end up getting like a 20 or 22-pound or something like that. The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds, about the size of a large dog. The five most popular ways to serve leftover turkey. Okay, let's see if you can get them.
Turkey tortilla soup.
Okay, chili or soup was one. What do you think, Pastor Bob?
With the gravy and trying to think what they call that. It's a little bit like
a casserole?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, that was another one. Sandwich, of course, the traditional turkey sandwich. Stew. Huh. And finally, burger.
Turkey burger.
Yeah, I guess some people ground it up and... Yeah, you would like that one.
Oh yeah, I'm all about burgers.
Well, when turkeys are mature, they have 3,500 feathers. That's a lot of plucking. You know, we talk about turkeys gobbling. Only male turkeys do that. Hens make a clucking noise, so kind of similar to the human male and female as well. I think the guys are the gobblers most of the time. And of course, commercially raised turkeys can't fly. Don't know if you knew that or not. Turkeys can have heart attacks, we've discovered. The Air Force was doing some test runs, breaking the sound barrier, and nearby turkeys dropped dead with heart attacks. So interesting little facts there. What's a large group of turkeys? What would you call it?
I would call it a gobble.
A gobble?
Flock.
Flock is correct. Pastor Bob's got one on you there.
Doesn't sound as good as gobble, though.
If you want to catch turkeys, you should do it at dark because they have poor night vision. How much does it? How much feed does it take to raise a 30-pound tom turkey?
150 pounds.
200.
75 to 80 pounds of feed. So not quite as much. And a 16-week-old turkey is called a...
A snarky.
Is it Bob?
I don't know.
A fryer.
Okay.
And a 5 to 7 month old turkey is called a young roaster. So there's your Thanksgiving facts for you. Of course, we celebrate Thanksgiving as a holiday for a couple of reasons. One, in 1621, the Pilgrims celebrated a feast with their newfound Wampanoag Indians, friends that had helped them learn how to do some agriculture, and so they had their first feast. It's thought maybe in 1621 at Plymouth, Massachusetts. And what do you think they had at the first Thanksgiving celebration? What kind of foods do you think?
Some corn.
Corn,
maize.
Okay. There was no corn at the first feast.
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie is not there.
Rhubarb pie.
Could be. I don't have that on the list.
Apple pie?
Nope, I don't see that. How about meats? What kind of meats do you think they might have?
Kangaroo.
No kangaroo. Yeah,
they might have had some kind of a wild animal type meat.
Okay, all right. There was definitely rabbit, we think.
Deer, maybe.
lobster, and fish, squashes, chestnuts, onions and leeks, dried fruits, maple syrup and honey, radishes, cabbage, carrots, eggs, and goat cheese.
No cheeseburgers?
No cheeseburgers, unless they used the leftover rabbit, maybe, to make rabbit burgers. I don't think they did that. So, of course, we've kind of followed that tradition, setting aside a day each year as a national holiday to remember the goodness of God to our country and bringing the Pilgrims here. That was formalized back in 1863 by President Lincoln. He had a presidential proclamation, on October 3rd, 1863. Let me just read a couple of sentences, because Lincoln was very God-focused, God-centered in his comments. Here's some of what he said in his proclamation. He says, the population of the country has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. Of course, we're right in the middle of the Civil War here. And the human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent God who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Some great words there from our 16th president. So we thought we'd take a little time today in our podcast and just talk about what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving and why it's important for the Christian to be thankful, and that should be a normal part of our life. And so let's have a little conversation about that. And we wanted to start by going over to Psalm 73. And Pastor Kirby, why don't you lead us through this psalm here?
Yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving is a fabulous holiday. It's one of my favorites. In fact, my favorite for several reasons. I mean, obviously the food and family and those type of aspects, they're wonderful. But for the Christian, there is no greater thing than to be thankful. I mean, that's almost like the definition of a Christian, is that you are thankful. And in this psalm, Psalm 73, we see one who you know, not only is thankful for the provision of God that is in this life, but we see also one who is thankful for the ultimate provision, which the Christian can be thankful for, which is God himself. The Christian can be thankful that God has given himself in love to the Christian. And so it says in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. And so the psalmist here is thankful most of all for God, that he has given himself in love. I mean, we're destitute without the Lord. He needs to be our refuge. He needs to be our strength. Without him, we're doomed. We're perished. We're doomed to perish in his judgment.
Well, wonderful reference. And in fact, if you take a look at the Psalms over and over and over again in the Psalms, we find thanksgiving. Psalm 26, verse 7, Psalm 50, verse 14, verse 23, Psalm 69, 30, Psalm 95, 2, of course, the famous verse, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Psalm 107, 116, 147, over and over and over. we see that Thanksgiving accompanies worship. And we're going to try to do that here at our church this Sunday with a special praise and Thanksgiving service for our morning service at 9 o'clock. And just give thanks to the Lord. Pastor Bob, what are some of your Thanksgiving memories through the years, or some of your favorite traditions?
I think mainly of what I was when Christ came into my heart, and that, why me? I am so grateful, so thankful that He allowed me to be one that He died for. And I am so unworthy, and yet the Bible says that He willingly went to the cross, that He died willingly, despising the shame, and yet sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And as I try to roll all that up in a bundle and look at Thanksgiving in itself, it's humbling to think of the debt I owe to God for His Son. I look at Psalm 69. The psalmist says, "I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Boy, I fall so short of that daily. I have to reflect upon the holiness of God, and am I giving Him what He deserves? Is my gratitude coming through to Him? Because were it not for that, I would be of all men most miserable, Paul taught us.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to Paul here in a second, because Paul is probably the most prolific author when it comes to speaking of Thanksgiving in the Scriptures. Just over and over in his letters, he talks about Thanksgiving. But interestingly, if you look back at the Old Testament, you will find over and over and over again in the books of the law and in the early books of Israel's history that there were sacrifices of thanksgiving. There were peace offerings for thanksgiving. We read about that in Leviticus, in the books of Chronicles, and even in Nehemiah and the Psalms makes reference to some of these. And so there was an aspect of the ongoing sacrificial system of the Old Testament that emphasized thanksgiving. And just to start off here with the epistles of Paul, because he just writes in a number of places about that. But you know, thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which is a passage that we often talk about in regards to giving, Paul attaches giving to God, in this case, to the poor in Jerusalem, with thanksgiving. He said in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 9 that you will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. And so I think it's just interesting that not only in the Old Testament, through the sacrificial offerings, the people were to be thankful to the Lord, but even in our givings to others, whether it's to the needy around us, to our families, to our church family, we are also to have thanksgiving in our giving to the Lord. One of the things that struck me was over in Romans, maybe Pastor John, you can comment on this, but in Romans chapter 1, which is kind of a harsh section of Scripture, there is one thing that kind of stands out to me in here about thanksgiving. Verse 18 of Romans 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." And then here's the verse in question, verse 21. "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him." You know, that kind of struck me, that of the importance of our Thanksgiving, Pastor John.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, we as human beings were created to worship. We're created to worship something. You know, we're natural worshipers. And in this passage, you see that those, you know, who would be considered wicked or godless, they basically worship themselves instead of worshiping God, who the one who is worthy of all worship. So, yeah, we were definitely created as worshipers. And unfortunately, due to our sin nature, those who are outside of Christ, they worship themselves instead of their Creator. And God needs to come and regenerate them and let them see the sin of not worshiping, see the sin of not being thankful to God, and turn and repent and trust Christ and become a true worshiper through the blood of Jesus Christ.
And it really becomes almost an indictment against us, doesn't it, Pastor Bob, when we fail to be thankful. In essence, you know, according to Romans 1, we're really just like the lost.
Yeah, I think that's part of our human makeup, is not to be grateful for things done for us. I think in terms of the Philippian letter, in Philippians 4:6, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And one of the main purposes of this letter, the Philippian letter, was Paul was thanking them at Philippi for sending a delegate to Rome while he was in prison with a gift, whether it was money or whatever it might have been. But he was thanking them in this letter for their faithfulness to him. And then he turns around in the letter and talks about remembering to give thanks to God and make your requests known. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in that regard, because Paul was in a situation that I certainly wouldn't have wanted to been there. And the church at Philippi that he had founded back in Acts 16 was one that had been faithful to him over the three journeys that he had gone about. So ultimately, I think, to answer your question, I think that we sometimes do not reflect the gratitude that God deserves, simply because I think we're selfish, and in many ways we're short-sighted, as the hymn, "Count your many blessings, see what God has done." Boy, that's a revelation in itself right there.
Yeah, we do. We forget, don't we? Over in Ephesians 5, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So here again we see thanksgiving put side by side with worship, but it also comes from a source. That thanksgiving maybe doesn't come naturally, like Pastor Bob said, to our flesh, but it should come naturally from those of us who are filled with the Spirit. Do you want to comment on that, Pastor John?
Yeah, I think it's just a natural overflow of you know, who we are in Christ. That's why I said at the beginning that, you know, thanksgiving is almost another way of saying a Christian. You're fulfilling your purpose that you were made through the sacrifice of Christ to be a worshiper of God. And so that, you know, that's our purpose, and we're totally unworthy of it, and that causes us to worship God for His salvation.
So there's definitely a spiritual source to our thanksgiving. We don't find it in and of ourselves. We find it through the Spirit who's regenerated us. We also have read several passages that talk about our thanksgiving is directed to God. So ultimately, though, sometimes we're thankful for people and for gifts and for things that happen to us here on the earth. Ultimately, our thanksgiving should be directed to the Lord, because all good gifts come from Him, the Bible tells us. And even in heaven, in eternity, Revelation 7 and verse 12 says that the angels around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, part of their worship in heaven, as written by the Apostle John, in verse 12 of chapter 7 says, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So this is something that, this isn't just something we do once a year, the fourth Thursday of November. This is something that should be ongoing for the Christian, not only here, but in eternity. Let's think back here a little bit to the idea that Thanksgiving also has maybe a relational aspect to it as well. Again, in the epistles of Paul, Paul just over and over and over was always giving thanks to God because of the churches and the faith that he saw. And let me just read a couple of verses in that regard, and then we can comment on those. Colossians 1:3 says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." Colossians 2 and verse 7 says that we were rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God?" 2 Thessalonians 1:3, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." And it's just on and on. I could read more and more verses about that. But let's talk a little bit about the relationship of thanksgiving to our brothers and sisters in the Lord and what we observe in their lives. Do we have any responsibilities there, Pastor Bob?
Well, certainly we're a family in Christ, not blood family, but spiritually we're a family, and family takes care of family. And in my family growing up around the dinner table, as a family, we would have a devotional time to thank God for the things that He does for us. And in the family of the body of Christ, the church, I think that we have a responsibility to one another to continue to hold God in high esteem. I think many times it's something that has, part of it has to be learned. I remember when I went to Moody Bible Institute, as a Christian that was not very deep, didn't know much about the Bible and those kinds of things. But when I heard these giants of the faith in their prayers thank God for Jesus Christ, that was penetrated every thought of mine that, you know, I don't do that when I pray. I don't come into the throne room and say thank you for Jesus. And that impacted me and my spiritual development more probably than any textbook that I studied at Moody, simply because I was listening to people who were so grateful for their salvation, so grateful for Christ, and giving thanksgiving in every prayer that they prayed. That just really impacted me.
Good. Well, as we begin to wrap up the podcast for today, let's talk about some practical things regarding Thanksgiving that perhaps our congregation and, of course, we individually, others who may be listening, that the rightful place of Thanksgiving in our lives. And just a couple of verses, that let me just pose them out here to you guys and let's comment on them. First of all, the relationship to Thanksgiving in our speech. In Ephesians 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving."
Yeah, there should be that. Like I said, the Christian is a thankful person. And you mentioned, you know, some practical things. Maybe I think it's good to kind of stop and arrest our minds, you know, at this time, because we're so focused on what we're thankful for, the things we have, the blessings, and yes, that's very appropriate. But to train our minds to think of God and be thankful for Him, because He's the source of those blessings. We don't want to get, you know, love the blessings more than the blessor. So to train our minds to think through the attributes of God and thank God for all His attributes, His omniscience, His wisdom, His holiness, His self-existence, His love, His wrath, His mercy. Think through those and grab your mind, you know, and make yourself think about those things and be thankful for God in those things. So I think that's something practical you can do just in the quietness of your own heart, or even rehearse that around the dinner table. Hey, what attributes of God are you thankful for and why?
Good. And as you implied there, Pastor John and Pastor Bob, you also mentioned this earlier, Thanksgiving is very closely related to prayer, and that should be no surprise to us, right? Because of the fact of who it's directed to. Another verse in that regard is 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, Paul writes to Timothy, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And sometimes I know we use that little acronym when we pray, the ACTS, where the A stands for adoration, and the C stands for confession, and the T stands for thanksgiving, and the S for supplication, or asking the Lord for our needs. So do you think, Pastor Bob, is thanksgiving something most people just naturally include in their prayers? Or I know sometimes we thank the Lord for our food before we eat it. That's certainly proper and appropriate. What other kinds of things can we express thanksgiving to God for?
Well, a lot of my ministry deals with people in hospital beds in critical situations, and many times as I kneel beside the bed of someone and the family's there, and it's you pray thanking God for His presence and His power and His might, and the person that is in the bed is in a different situation. They're the one that is hurting or is ill and those kinds of things. But in our prayer life, as we thank God for even that, for being set aside, that we can trust Him, that we can allow our faith to be stretched, and to trust Him to take us through these difficult times. And I think it's imperative as we pray that we tell God that, because He told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And when we do that, ultimately, that's the avenue that He wants us to take.
Yeah, that's good. That reminds me of when I was living in California and we would meet as a family. We'd invite some friends over, and one friend, he's a real godly man, and when we were going around the table saying what we were thankful for at the Thanksgiving meal, everybody, you know, was saying I'm thankful for my wife and kids and money and, you know, all the things that I have, and that's great. But this gentleman, and I think he said this couple years running, that he was thankful for suffering.
Wow.
And that kind of arrested everybody's attention. But yet, as you say, Pastor Bob, we can be thankful even in suffering. You know, the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we can give thanks in all circumstances, even suffering, because we know that God has even designed suffering as a blessing. So we can thank Him even for those things that we wouldn't normally thank Him for, just because He's in control. And we can be thankful at all times because of that.
And we see some great examples in the scriptures of that, right? With Job, you know, after everything he had endured, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think of Paul and his thorn in the flesh. But he says, I'm going to glorify God. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Another practical thing, I think of Philippians chapter 1:3, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And I would encourage folks just to take out their church directory and pray through the people, the brothers and sisters that they worship and fellowship with on a regular basis. We do that as pastors and our leadership team at the church, and it's good to bring people to our remembrance and just to keep that spirit of thankfulness to the Lord for each of them, and to watch God grow them and take them through good times, tough times, but again, directing all of our thanksgiving to the Lord. Any final thoughts here as we wrap up the podcast today, guys?
No, I just I'm just thankful that we have been able to sit around and talk about the scriptures and try to be, you know, God-centered as we all always are, and really just, you know, focus on Him. This is a great time of year to count your blessings, and I know that, you know, there's a lot of discontentment in our society, and that can creep into our Christian life. We're tempted to be discontent because we look around and things aren't going so well, but we can be thankful because we have a God who's in control, and he has blessed and even has given severe mercies in suffering. We can be thankful because he's given himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just thankful that we are able to talk about these things.
I think in closing that a podcast such as this, that it might be encouraging to someone that is in need of encouragement, and to reflect on God is sovereign, He's available, and as we've discussed here today with these subjects of thankfulness to Him, it's real. And if somebody's struggling today, I would hope that this podcast would encourage them.
Good. And of course, I'm thankful for so many things as we enter this season for family and church family, and for my brothers here sitting around the table with me. I thank the Lord for how He uses you to sharpen me and to constantly point me to the scriptures and to Christ at times when I may not be thinking about it, when my thoughts may be distracted and on things of the world. And so I thank the Lord, and maybe we can close with Psalm 50, a couple of verses in Psalm 50 that are instructive, I think, to us in this season of Thanksgiving as we come up here on our official national holiday. Psalm 50 and verse 14 says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Verse 23, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." So if you have a question today about how you can bring glory to God, there's one way, a sure way, and that is to be thankful. Thankful to Him for all that He's done, especially for His salvation, which has come to us in Jesus Christ. Well, we'll wrap it up there today. Thanks again for joining us on our weekly conversations. We will not be doing a podcast next week during the Thanksgiving week, but we'll look forward to joining you again soon with a discussion about biblical issues centered on the person of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.